Titus chapter number 2. This is our New Testament book that we've begun studying together. I believe this is the first time I've preached in Titus on Sunday morning, though. So if you come on Sunday mornings, we have preached all the way through chapter 1 of this book. And we've come now to chapter number 2 of the book of Titus. And we're going to begin our study today on the opening 10 verses. We're only going to get started with this. There's a lot in these 10 verses, and we're just going to get started with it as we come to Titus chapter 2, verse number 1 and following. The Bible says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, not showing all good fidelity, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things." Now, if you're in a habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark two words in verse number 1. It's the two words, sound doctrine. The two words, sound doctrine. Let's pray together, and I'm beginning this message as we'll only get started with this morning on sound doctrine. Father, we thank you for this service. Pray that you'll speak to our hearts, challenge us from your word, and may we be more like you when we leave than when we came. May you take your word and pierce our hearts. Would you change us from the inside out, I pray, and may the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen. It'll take me just a little bit to get to the main thought for this morning. The Apostle Paul is bearing his heart to Titus. In this book, he's telling him to set in order the things that are wanting. That's a direct quote. In other words, there were things that were lacking in these churches in this place that Paul is speaking to Titus to put these things in order. Now, in the first chapter, which we've already studied together, Paul instructed Titus to ordain elders in every city. Then he mentions how these elders, these bishops, these pastors were to live up to the qualifications that call for godly character. In other words, Titus was to be cautious about selecting the pastors of the local churches in Crete. And he was to make sure that their lives lined up with God's demands. Now in this, let us be reminded, I've already preached on it in that chapter, but let us just be reminded here that being called to pastor a local church is a high calling. It's a holy calling that comes with accountability and comes with great responsibility before God. Now in chapter 2, as we come into this chapter together, Paul turns his attention once again to Titus. And he says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Now before we get to the meat of this message, it's interesting to note how chapter 1 ends and how chapter 2 begins. Notice how in chapter 1 it ends with those who are unsaved, those who are abominable, those who are disobedient, and unto every good work they are reprobate. Now that's how chapter 1 ends, with unbelievers. But even though there were those who said one thing and lived another way, the hypocrites in chapter number 1, even though those people existed and they still exist today, even though they existed, Titus was not to be like them. Chapter 2 opens with Titus being challenged as an individual to be different than the world. He's challenged to be different than the hypocrites. One man put it this way in chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, "They." And in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "Thou." They are this way, but you are not to be that way. They are hypocrites. Their lives and beliefs are opposites. That is the way they are. But Titus, you are not to be that way. You must be obedient and consistent in what you say and in what you do. Here's a strong appeal again for Titus to be a man of godly behavior, for wholeness of life. Now the point here in the introduction is while others live opposed to the gospel, Titus as an individual was to be true to the gospel. You know what I'm glad of this morning? I'm glad that God has made the Christian life that if everybody turns against the truth of the gospel, I don't have to. You don't have to either. One, get this now, just one can live a life pleasing to Almighty God. Determine that as the world gets worse and worse, and are we not seeing that happen before our eyes? As the world gets worse and worse and worse and worse and attacks God and attacks His gospel and attacks the Bible, let us stand firm as individuals saying we will serve the Lord. I'm glad the Christian life is made that way. In the opening verse, Paul challenges Titus. He says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. You know what the word sound means? It means healthy. It means uncorrupt. It means whole. In other words, Titus was to teach the truth of the Word of God, and he was not to add to it. He wasn't to take anything away from it. Oliver Green put it well, and he said, in other words, Titus, do not incorporate your own ideas or opinions into your message when you preach. Teach the things that are doctrinally sound. Do not add anything to the gospel that you have heard. Do not take anything away from it. Titus is to preach nothing that's opposed to the Word of God, nor anything that deviates away from it. He's to preach, thus saith the Lord. He's not to incorporate traditions, fables, dogma, or the commandments of men into his message. He's to preach the pure gospel minus man's ideas or suppositions. Titus was to be a preacher who was faithful to the Word of God that he was called to preach. He was to preach healthy doctrine. Now, before I get started here with the meat of the message, if there is sound doctrine, then that means there's possibility of unsound doctrine. Not everything you hear and not everything you listen to a preacher preach, I'm saying not everything that preachers get up and say, I'm talking about worldwide, if they are deviating from this book and they say, thus saith the Lord, and they're giving their own thoughts, are you listening to me? That is not sound doctrine. We need to be a church and a people who is involved with sound doctrine. The sound doctrine, the healthy doctrine, is found in the pages of this book right here. If it doesn't say it, then neither should we. If it says the gospel is plus and minus nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ, then don't add anything to it. Don't take anything away from it. Because there are people today who will try to add to this book, take away from this book, and both of them are equally evil. Sound doctrine. I'm glad that this is a church who majors on sound doctrine. And this being the case, let's get started with our study here, beginning with verse number 2. You know, among the many things involved in a ministry that preaches and teaches sound doctrine, there's many things it involves. Sound doctrine involves many things. But it's interesting what Paul starts with here as he's challenging Titus when he brings out the importance of sound doctrine within the local churches. In these verses, you'll notice in these verses there are four major groups. Just down through verse number 10. You have the aged men and women. You have the young men and women. You have Titus as the leader. And you have the servants who are working elsewhere in the community. Now, in other words, listen to this. It is these four groups of people within the local church, this is the setting here, that is to be affected and instructed by sound doctrine. They are to be the ones who are affected by it. who are trained by it. One man said it well, said the great apostle now turns from the preacher to the layman. It's imperative for a church to have godly ministers, but the church must also have godly members. I say amen to that. A Christ-like preacher is important, but a Christ-like congregation is just as essential. If we're going to reach the world with the gospel, it will never be done simply by preaching from the pulpit. Now, a lot of it can be done by preaching from the pulpit, don't get me wrong. But God never intended to reach the world from the pulpit of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. He intended the pulpit to train the people so the people go out and reach the world. That's the work of God. All Christians are to be the pattern for the church. The burden is upon every Christian, not only the preacher. And see here, there is no double standard in the New Testament. There is no standard for the minister and then another standard for the person who is just a member of the church. In the New Testament, they were all together in the service of God. Young, old, leaders, and servants. All of them. Let me tell you four groups of people that make up this congregation today. The aged men and women. I'm not saying whether you are or not. That's between you and God. The young men and women. The leaders like Titus. And the servants who go outside during the week and try to win people to Jesus Christ. That's these four groups of people we're going to study in these verses. We're only going to get to the first one, and that's the aged men and women. So this is the first major point of this message. Sound doctrine, number one. Sound doctrine, first of all, instructs the aged. This is found in verses 2 down to verse 4, the first part of verse number 4. And the first group of people sound doctrine is to affect in the local church. It is to affect the aged men and aged women. Now this literally means, look it up, it means the old men and the old women. That's what it means. It's not a term of disrespect, it's a term really of respect in the Word of God. It really is. The aged men, the aged women within the local church. These precious people in the local church are to live according to sound doctrine and strive to live up to the Lord's expectations for them found in these verses. One man said, and boy, I echo this, nothing quite blesses a church like godly older people who through their years have given themselves to God. I say amen to that. By the way, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but let me just go ahead and say it. If you're an older lady or an older man and you know that, now some are and don't know it, but you understand what I'm saying to you. I'm joking with you there. I'm kidding with you. If you're an older man or older lady, don't ever fall prey that we need to give this church over to the young people. Don't ever fall prey to that. Now, young people are to come. I'm getting ahead of myself, and the older generation should train the younger generation on how to do the work of God. But that does not mean that you stop and turn it over to them completely and sit on the sidelines and sip on Gatorade until the trumpet sounds. Don't do it. May I say it this way? We need you at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. The older generation, this younger generation, hey, I'm still a younger generation going to try to stay there as long as I can. But this younger generation, we stand in awe of you. We stand in need of you. We need you at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You be an older lady and an older man who lives according to sound doctrine. And this sound doctrine, here's what God says, the Holy Spirit says, here's how the aged men are to be. And here's how the aged women are to be. Now, this is not everything in the Bible, but just in these verses here, we're tying ourselves down here. Let's separate these two. First of all, the aged men. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many of you consider yourself an aged man? Don't raise your hand, but I want you to think about it right now. How many of you consider yourself an aged man? I'm not talking about how you feel. I'm talking about your age, okay? If you go by how you feel, I'm probably the oldest one in here right now, you know? The aged men. Let me put it this way, the senior saints. By the way, if you're not a senior saint, don't you tune me out. Because if God demands this out of aged people, who's to say He doesn't demand it out of younger ones too? Now I'm telling you this morning, this is serious stuff. You know what we need? We need older men and women who say, God, make me like that. Now what is it? The aged men, number one, let's just walk through these verses. Verse number two, the aged men, first of all, they are to be men who are sober. Now I'm going to try to go quickly here. You know what the word sober means? It means vigilant. That's found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, where it's translated there as vigilant and translated here. It's the same word. It's just translated differently. It means vigilant in 1 Timothy 3, 2. It means sober here. When you put it all together, it means to be circumspect. It means to be cautious. It means to be discreet. It means to be watchful. Concerning the use of the word in 1 Timothy 3, 2, where it's known as vigilant there, one commentator put it this way. This word occurs only here in 1 Timothy 3, 2, then in 1 Timothy 3:11, and then here in Titus chapter 2, verse 2. It's the same Greek word. It means properly sober, temperate, abstinent, especially in respect to wine, then sober-minded, watchful, circumspect. A minister, get this, should have a watchful care over his own conduct. And the aged men here in Titus should be the same. In other words, stay awake. Stay watchful. Be cautious. Be discreet. Be vigilant. Be circumspect. Don't fall asleep at the wheel. Sober. Number two, he's to be grave. That doesn't mean dead, okay? That the aged men be sober. Then what? Be grave. You know what that word grave means? It means honorable. Honorable. It means honest and venerable. You know what venerable has been defined as? Listen to this. It means it commands respect because of great age or impressive dignity. It means worthy of veneration or reverence because of noble character. That is a powerful word right there. That means because, aged men, you are such a man of integrity and honesty and your honorable character that you demand respect. Let me ask you a question. Do you know of an older man, excuse me, who's just a slob and you don't want anything to do with him or be around him because I mean, it's ridiculous just to be around the man? God says the aged men in the local church should be the upstanding citizens in His city. Amen, friends. They ought to be men of unquestionable character. They ought to be honorable. Let me ask you a question, aged men. Really, let me ask this to everybody. We're applying it to all, but specifically aged men, like the word of God is speaking to here. Are you an honorable man? Can people follow you, knowing how you talk, knowing how you live, knowing what you say, and say, that is a fine man right there? Grave. Number three, he's to be temperate. This is all in verse number two. This word temperate means self-controlled. He has himself under control. It means to be safe and sound in your mind. Let me ask you a question. Is your mind a safe place? Is your mind a sound place? Is your mind a healthy place? Let me say this to you. The greatest battle I fight is right here. Right in between my ears. The greatest battle I fight is in my mind. Have y'all know what I'm talking about? Would you say amen? You know what the aged men are to set the example in their thought life. Friends, I'm going to say something to you. This is simple stuff, but this is powerful stuff here, friends. Honestly, God says, aged men, you be temperate. You be under control. You be sound and healthy in your mind. In other words, they're to bring their bodies under subjection. It's like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27. He said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. It means to make your body a slave to you, not you a slave to your body. That's what it means. That's what the word temperate means. My body serves me. I don't serve it. Number one, be sober. Number two, be grave. Number three, be temperate. Number four, be sound in faith. This is found in verse number two. Sound in faith. And by the way, that sound goes on in charity and goes on in patience. So it's to be, he's to be sound in faith, sound in charity, sound in patience. Let's look at these separately. You know what the word faith means? By the way, what's the word sound mean? It means healthy. It means uncorrupt. It means wholesome. You know what the word faith means? It means moral conviction. And it means reliance upon Christ for salvation. You know what this means? My understanding what this means? The aged men should know that they're believing in Jesus. And they should not be rattled away from that, shaken away from that. They should be healthy in their faith in God. Nothing should shake you away from Jesus. Amen. The aged men are to set the example in this in the local church. That God is worthy to be trusted. You can trust God. I'm not shaken in my faith. I'm sound in faith. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Sound in faith. Going on here, sound in charity. That word charity there is agape. What is agape? It is God's love. It's God's unconditional love. See, when God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, he so agaped the world. That's the word used. It's God's love. It's unconditional love. By the way, it's the same love that husbands and wives are to have for each other. Amen. It's an unconditional love. It's God's love. It's love that loves no matter whether it's deserved or not. And the aged men are to set the example in this. I like what Oliver Green said. He said, by this time in life, talking about the aged men, by this time in life, he should have overcome all the fiery, impetuous, envious, wrathful passions of his earlier years. That's a powerful statement, friends. By the time he is aged, he should be preserved in the Lord. The older preserves are, the sweeter they are, and if kept long enough, preserves will become sugar. So the longer we live for Jesus, the sweeter we should become in the Lord. We should be able to truthfully sing, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. There are times when the aged become unhappy. The older generation sometimes become grumblers, complainers. Ugly to be around. Unlovely. And I'm not talking about when a disease takes over their heart and mind. You understand. Sometimes when a disease comes and they don't know, you understand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about that. But I am talking about when your senses are with you and you know better. You ought to be getting sweeter for Jesus, not more sour. That's what this means. You ought to become more and more like God in the way you love and the sweeter you are. Oliver Green goes on to say, my aged brothers and sisters in Christ, I beg you, do not allow the devil to mar your beautiful Christian testimony by becoming a grouch or a complainer or a grumbler. Rejoice because it will not be long until you lay down this old body of pain, a body that has become slow to think and slow to move, and you will rest with Jesus in paradise. You say, I hurt. I've got a right to complain. I got a right to grumble. Not when you put God in the equation, you don't. And when you're headed to see Jesus, the longer you live, the more that reality should be coming into your heart and soul. And you realize I'm getting closer. Senior saints, do I know what I'm talking about or not today? I'm getting a little closer. It's time to start buckling up a little bit. If there's bitterness in my heart, get it out, God. If I've been holding grudges, get it out. Make me sweeter. Help me love like you. God said if anybody ought to set the example in that, it's people who know better. It's the aged. It's those who know time is fleeting fast. And they need to be getting ready to meet God. Sound in love. Then there to be sound in patience. You know what this word patience means here? It means hopeful endurance. It means constancy. It means enduring. Constancy has been defined as the quality of being unchanging and unwavering. as to purpose, love, or loyalty. The fact of the matter is when he says here to be sound in patience, what he's talking about is you be firm. You be a faithful man. Nothing should ever happen that should cause you to waver, to cause you to quit. In other words, no matter what's going on in life, the aged men are to set the example when sound doctrine is ruling and reigning. When sound doctrine is taking a hold of their heart, they should be setting the example that no matter what hits my life, I'm not moving. I'm staying put. You ever seen a younger person, that trials hit their life and then they quit on God? You ever seen that? Have y'all ever seen that? Would you raise your hand? Especially, have you noticed it's typically younger people? Have you noticed that? Now, it doesn't always be that. Sometimes it's older people. God's saying this. The older men should drive a stake a mile deep. And as the winds and turmoil of life blow up against their ship, they will not sink. They will not bow. They will not quit. They will not waver. They will not swerve. They will just stay put doing the will of God. This is what this word patience means. Unchanging. Trusting the Lord no matter what happens. One man said, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of disappointment, in the midst of heartache, one can anchor his life to God. His heart can enjoy peace. The older men ought to live like that. They should be the kind of people who, when pressure rises and circumstances are strained, they have a sense and a peace that they know God is in control. This is the aged men. Then we move quickly to the aged women. In verses 3 and 4, when the aged women are living according to sound doctrine, they'll be summarized as the follows. Look at verse number 3. Number 1, under this, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. In behavior as becometh holiness. This means that the older women are to live in such a way that it is appropriate to holiness. You're set apart as holy, live appropriate to that. You're just saying this is who I am, and my life is going to prove that I'm a holy person. This phrase signifies in state to be holy, in gesture to be holy, and in habit to be holy. You know what's a blessing to see an older woman who is known for her godliness, who's known for her holiness, her separation, her becoming lifestyle? You know, we need more of this kind of aged women in our churches. We have a lot of you here in this church. God bless you. I hope this will just encourage you to keep going. Be in behavior as becometh holiness. Leviticus 20, verse 7, sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Number one, in behaviors becometh holiness. Number two, not false accusers. The word used here for accusers is the word diabolos, which means devil. And it means slanderer. It's what it means. By the way, the devil is a slanderer. One man said this, translated literally, this would be that the aged women, get this now, should not be she-devils. It's what it means. It's what it means. Are you listening to me? A she-devil is as bad as a he-devil, and a he-devil is as bad as a she-devil. And you know what a she-devil and he-devil are? They're slanderers. They're gossipers. You know what the devil does? He slanders you to God. He gossips about you to God. He belittles you. And God says the aged women, don't be like the devil. Don't gossip. If gossip comes to you, it dies. But it will not go any further. Amen, friends. Proverbs 17:9 says, "He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends." Proverbs 16:28, "A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends." There were four Catholic priests. They met for a friendly gathering. During the conversation, one priest said, "Our people come to us and pour out their heart, confessing certain sins and needs. Let's do the same. Confession is good for the soul." Now, we're not Catholic, but I'm just giving you this illustration. In due time, they all agreed. One confessed he liked to go to the movies and would sneak off when away from his church. The second confessed to smoking cigars, and the third one confessed to playing cards. I mean, just silly things, you know. When it came to the fourth, he wouldn't confess. The others pressed him. "Come now, we confessed ours. What's your secret? What's your vice?" And finally he said, "It's gossiping, and I can't hardly wait to get out of here." You know, the sad thing is, there's a lot of Christians like that, though. Have you ever noticed how your flesh wants to hear bad news? Not about you, about somebody else. Are you listening to me? Every one of us has a devil living in us. I'm not talking about the devil. I'm talking about the flesh. I'm talking about the sin nature. I'm talking about something that just wants to get out. And God says the aged women, excuse me, should keep their mouth closed when it comes to slandering another human being. Glad I'm through with that one. Number three. Don't get me tickled now. You're getting me tickled. Not given to much wine. The aged women should set the example of not being a slave to alcohol. The obvious way to do this is never to drink it at all. Amen. Now, for more information on this topic, because I preached an entire sermon on it, I'm just going to refer you to my sermon. You can get it. You can download it on the internet, or you can call the church office. You can make a request for it. So I'm not going to spend time here. But it's my opinion and where I stand that God's children should never touch it, should never drink it, because it's a guaranteed fact, something you cannot argue with. If you never touch it, you'll never become a drunkard. Amen. And nobody becomes a drunkard without taking the first sip. You say, "I can handle it." Then you know more than God, don't you? Because God said, don't put any confidence in the flesh. Stay away from alcohol. The aged women should set the example in this. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 1, "Wine's a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." Then we close with this thought. Number four, the aged women, the latter part of verse number 3, they are to be teachers of good things. Then you see in verse number 4 how they're to teach the younger women. Now, I'll mention more about that later. That's not this sermon. But the teachers of good things here means that they're to teach what is right and what is good. May I say this to you? Everybody teaches something. Do you understand that there's no middle ground when it comes to you teaching? You're teaching by the way you live. You're teaching by the way you talk, by the way you act, by your demeanor, by your character, by your testimony. You're teaching. You are teaching. And the Bible says that the aged women are to be teachers of good things. It means things that are right. It means right things. In the way they live and speak, the aged women are to teach what is good and right in this life. One commentator said, "How beautiful is an aged Christian woman of saintly life." Now, in the next section, you'll see that some of these good things are. What is good in the eyes of God? Well, they're to teach the younger women some of these things. But the fact of the matter is we're focusing on this. And before we move on to the next group, the younger generation, the young women, the young men, God willing, that'll be next Sunday morning, the good Lord willing now, unless he changes my mind here. And if you're a younger man or woman, you're probably saying, "Change it, Jesus, change it," right? But before we even get started with the second point, which we're not even starting today, I want to pause and reflect on the fact that the aged men and aged women are a blessing to a local church when they live according to sound doctrine. And when they set a godly example for the young men and the young women, by the way they live and by the way they speak. Thank God for the aged men and women of this local church who are living like that. Now, if you're not living like that, I thank God for giving you life, but I don't thank God for your life. Because instead of teaching what's good, you're teaching what's wrong. What's the challenge today? Here's the challenge. I'm about done. Thank you for bearing with me the way you do. Here's the challenge today. If you are an aged man or aged woman, an old man or an old woman, that's out of respect. That's what that word means, an old man, an old woman. If you say, that's me, then I ask you, aged man, are you sober? Are you grave? Are you living in such a way that your life is honorable? Are you temperate, self-controlled, bringing your body into subjection to you? Are you sound in faith? Do you know you're born again and you're not wavering from that at all, and you're just healthy in your faith in God? Do you love like God? And no matter what happens, are you patient? Have you driven a stake a mile deep that no matter what's blowing against your life, you're staying put? You're just going to keep going for God? The aged women, are you in your life, is your behavior becoming to holiness? Can somebody say, what is holy, and say, look at her and just watch her live? That's holiness. That's convicting. Are you a false accuser? Do you gossip? Are you staying away from alcohol? And are you using your God-given life to teach good things, right things, holy things, healthy things? That's my challenge to you. Here's the other challenge. As we begin to prepare for the invitation, if you wouldn't mind, Brother Gary. Here's my other challenge. If you're a younger generation, or maybe you're an older generation, is there an aged man or woman who set an example for you like this? Have y'all's mom and dad still living? Would you raise your hand? Yes. Yes. Are they older? If your father's living and he's an old man, but he's an old man like this that's been living sound doctrine, if you can possibly do it, you should get on your face and say, thank you, God. If your mother is elderly and she's still alive, and she has set an example like this, you ought to get on your face and say, thank you, Jesus. Some of your moms and dads are in heaven, aren't they? And right now, the Holy Spirit of God is bringing them to your heart and mind. Because you had a mom and daddy like this. There's nothing wrong with getting on your face, even though they were Jesus, and say, Lord, I just want to come to you again and say thank you for the mom and daddy that you gave me. And help me be a mom and dad like that to others. The challenge today is we need the older generation in this local church. Amen, friends. We need the older generation. And interesting that before God ever started talking to the younger generation, he talked to the older generation first. Interesting, isn't it? So that's what I'm the pastor doing. I'm just going the order that God gave. And the first ones he talked to was the aged men and aged women. And I'm calling on the aged men and aged women. God, help me to be an aged man of sound doctrine. God, help me to be an aged woman of sound doctrine, teaching the things that are good. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your goodness to us. Bless in a mighty way. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Are you sound in faith? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Do you know that if you died that you're going to heaven? Have you say, Jody, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm born again. I'm glad I know I'm going to heaven because I've trusted Christ and Christ alone. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. Thank you. It's good to raise your hand to that, right? Don't ever get over it. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to come to your seat, not going to embarrass you, but I would like to pray for you. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Put it right back down. Anybody at all? You say, pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to be saved. Let me ask you this question. I'm going to speak to who the Word of God spoke to here specifically. The aged men, the aged ladies. If you say, Jody, that's me and I know it. God's speaking to me today. It could be that you're doing these things and God's saying, just keep going. Or it could be that you're convicted and God says, this needs to change. If you're here today and you're an aged man or woman, you say, Jody, God's using this in my life. He really is. I needed this. I needed this, either as an encouragement or as a rebuke. Either way, I needed it. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, I needed this. I needed this. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Why don't you come and talk to God about it? Or maybe many of you want to come and just say, God, thank you for giving me an older man or older woman in my life that has set the example in good things. Some of you just need to come and thank God for your mom and daddy. Some of you need to come and thank God for your mom and dad who's already in heaven. Whatever it is, let's do business with the Lord. Let's stand together, please, shall we? Father, touch this and use it. Bless it, I pray. And challenge us from your word in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. Would you come and say thank you for what God's done in your life or encourage you to live on for God like this. As he sings, you come.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Be an older woman, older man like this.
Thou art the potter.
Those that live according to sound doctrine.
I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy while I am waiting, yielded and still.
They're playing through as we come to a close today. Brother Daniel would like to meet with all the junior day camp workers. If you're helping to work in that camp this week, he's going to meet with you tonight after church. Tonight after church, it's a very important informational meeting. So if you're working, you be right in your place tonight. And this is Liberty Urban. Liberty, you can stay right there, okay? Or you can come up here with me. That's fine. This is Liberty. Beautiful little girl, right? How old are you, Liberty? Are you married?
No.
Okay, let's keep it that way for many years, okay? And Liberty was dealt with in children's church today. Somebody took a Bible and shared with you the gospel. And you are coming to let us know that today you're accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is that true?
Amen.
Very, very good. She said, yes, sir. Isn't that precious? That's respectful. I appreciate that. And we're so happy for you. You know what that means? That means you get to go to heaven someday. Isn't that great? Are you happy for us? Say a big amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You can go right back down there with Mr. and Mrs. Steeles. God bless you. And if you want to take her on out so she doesn't get caught up in all the people here. If you're a visitor and you have a visitor's card filled out, please take it to the Welcome Center. Got a special gift for you. And let's pray together. Be back tonight to hear the Fiji report. And let's ask God for a great meeting this evening, okay? Let's see. Brother Marty Scroggs, sir, please.